Beautiful music. Thank you guys very much for leading us in that. And tonight, like I said, is our Good Friday service. So what do you do in a Good Friday service? What is a Good Friday service? And some of you didn't grow up in the church, and some of you maybe were in churches that didn't have Good Friday services. Maybe many of you did. But a lot of Good Friday services, they would turn the lights out. We need a microphone. Okay. How's that? Can you hear me now? Okay. A lot of Good Friday services, they might turn all the lights out and have a really dark service where it's really focusing on the death of Christ and just the agony of it, almost focusing on that feeling that you would have if you were there to bring out that emotion in you. So that's very traditional. Some churches would actually go on a march as if they're going up to Calvary with the cross. And that's one way to do it. Now, another way to do it is really not to disconnect it from the big picture, which is we've got the cross and we've got the resurrection. And even though we know it's Friday, we know Sunday's soon coming, right? And so tonight we're going to have one a little bit more like that one, where this is a little bit more of a lighthearted celebration. All the lights are on, and there's a lot of good news here tonight. Amen?
Amen?
All right, pray with me. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love in our life. Lord, thank you for the fact that just under 2,000 years ago, Lord, you were on that cross, Jesus, for us, on our behalf, for our sins. Lord, that you love us so much that you were driven to go there to complete your work. We thank you so much for that. Lord, we want to turn towards you. I pray that every heart would be made soft and would desire to be moving towards you and to live lives that are pleasing to you. I lift up everyone here tonight who is going through any kind of a difficult situation. I pray tonight would be especially encouraging to them. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I put this up here, the cross, a real good thing. And I say that could be it could sound kind of light because it's so much more than a good thing. But, in terms of Good Friday, whether or not I want to focus on the darkness and difficulty of the cross or the goodness that is the cross and how Good Friday is. So for me, the cross is such a good thing. A real, 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 real good thing is the cross. But why did Jesus come in the first place? Why did he come? The Bible teaches us that Jesus left heaven. He left his glory in heaven. He left a perfect place to come down here, to become one of us, to live like a man, to be tempted in every way, to face everything we face, and to be rejected, to be despised. But why did he come? Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So the reason Jesus came is because he came on a very specific mission. His mission was to seek and save the lost, just like it says here. So you've heard of rescue crews. They're going and they're seeking people that need to be saved, that need to be helped after maybe a natural disaster, an earthquake or a tsunami or a situation. This is like what Jesus was on. He was on a very specific mission to seek and save the lost. Now, we live in a very broken world, don't we? So he came to save, he came to seek and save, but he came to solve a particular problem. A particular problem that has caused our world to be broken. We know, many of us know, if we've been with Awana or other programs, we know some of these verses. Romans 3:23 is one that says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And let me give you my interpretation of this. Everybody sins. I sin, you sin, we all sin. Everybody sins. And then Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So this broken situation we live in, this broken world that we're in, is broken because of sin. So really, if somebody says to you something like, I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand why God would allow so much suffering. I don't understand why these terrible things have to happen. There's really only one answer. That's because of sin. That's because we live in a fallen world. Sin has corrupted the world. Along with sin has come death and disease and all the difficulties that we face. It wasn't this way from the beginning. This wasn't God's original plan for us. Remember, God's original design was to be in fellowship with Him. But when sin entered the world through one man, all became sinners. And so we're all born sinners. We're all born with this disease. We're all born separated from God. We're all part of the problem. So that's the problem, though, that Jesus came to deal with. He came to solve that problem. Now, I hope that you all have this one memorized. John 3:16, it's usually the one that's at all the football games, or Tim Tebow had it on his black paint, you know, for the football games, and it caused lots and lots of hits on Google. People, what is this John 3:16 that he's got on his eye paint? You know, John 3:16, read this with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God wants us to have life. He doesn't want us to be facing the death and separation from Him that the sin gives us. And many of us are so very familiar with this, but I put the next two here because they really fit with that seek and save mission that Jesus is on. His mission, seek and save. Read this with me. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So we're in this broken world. We are sinners. We're born separated from God. We're already condemned. So there's not a single one of us that is born and we're okay before God when we're born. Amen? We're all condemned from the very beginning. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we know that because we're sinners, we sin. And we've done terrible things. And we've made terrible choices. And we don't in any way deserve what Jesus is doing here. We don't deserve the mission that He's on. We don't deserve the cross and what He's doing for us. But it says that God sent His Son Jesus into the world so that the world may be saved through Him. All right? Everyone is already condemned. But if we will, like it says, believe in Him, then we're not going to be condemned. We are not condemned. All right, so how was this great problem solved? Now, I know you know the answer to this because you're here, I'm pretty sure. You have a good idea. I don't see lots and lots of visitors today here that have never heard this. And these are things that should be near and dear to us, just at the center of our very person and who we are. But Jesus died the death that we deserved. Think about that for a minute. See that cross up there? It's just the one that we've put together up there. That's what we think it looks like there. Okay, but that cross, when Jesus went to it, was not a romantic picture like we have. People did not wear it as jewelry. People did not celebrate it. That would be like the electric chair right there. The cross is like the electric chair. It's the place where they would take people who were guilty and they would punish them, they would kill them, they would nail them on the cross and humiliate them. And they would use it also to intimidate people from following that same way. That's the cross. It was not romantic. It was not celebrated. It was despised. Do you understand? That's what we deserved. So if you want to think about what you and me deserve for our actions and who we are and what we do, every single one of us deserves to be executed, completely cut off, cast away from God. That's what we deserve. And so that is the death that He died. He died the death that we deserved. He did it for us on our behalf. As doing this, He was paying the penalty for our sins. Jesus died, and the death that He died on the cross was good enough to cover every sin throughout all time and all places of everyone who would believe in Him and receive Him as Savior. If you are a Christian, if you have God living in your heart, if you've personally received Him, He paid the price for your sins on that cross. The sins that you sinned yesterday, the sin that you sinned last week, the sins that you sinned when you were in your youth, when you were a little kid, and guess what? The sins that you're going to sin tomorrow, and the next day, and next week, you could never pay for them and still be with God. But Christ paid for them. He paid for them that day at the cross. And I said it was about 1900 and some years ago, about 1980 years ago or so, that there was a real day, a real time that Christ died on the cross for our sins. Think about it. It's about the year 2012, so it's roughly 2012 years since Christ was born. He lived 33 years. That's how I come to that figure. Think about it, but it's really great. Think about it. You could make a chain. One of those chains or something that, you know, would you count down the days. But I mean, we really could make a chain that would count the days between going back between today and when Christ died. I mean, it really happened. He really broke into time and space and lived a perfect life and went as an innocent man to the cross. I mean, He didn't have to do it, really. I mean, He could have called down angels. He could have stopped it in any way, but He went willingly to the cross. Now, does everybody reap the benefit of it? Everybody can. Everybody can reap the benefit of it, but it's a gift. God's love, a relationship with Him, forgiveness of our sins, it's all a gift. It's just a gift that we receive. Now, I can get my wife a beautiful gift, and I hope that she would take it, but she doesn't have to. She could say, no, thank you. Pat often tries to buy me a cup of coffee, and I usually tell him no. I say, I'll get my own. He's trying to give me a gift, and I'm not receiving it. Maybe I should, Pat. But you don't have to receive a gift. Okay, you don't earn a gift either. So you don't like go out and work and say, okay, I worked 8 hours for you. Now give me my gift. That's called something else. That's called pay, right? But this is just a gift, and we receive it through faith. You got to really believe that Christ went to the cross for you, that He paid the price, that He really is God and He really is man. And that He really went the distance for you, and that He really loves you, and He really has everything in control. I mean, but you got to have faith in Him. There's a saving faith. Now, this kind of faith is the kind of faith that makes us surrender to Him. It makes us repent from our sins. So there's like faith that you have like up here, like, oh yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. But it really doesn't cost you anything. And then there's faith that travels the most critical 18 inches, give or take a few, from your head down to your heart. And it really changes your life. So if you really truly have a relationship with Christ through true faith, you have life-changing faith. Your life is different. It's never the same because of that faith. There's a surrenderedness in you that surrenders to Him. You desire to repent from your sins. You want to walk with Him. You want to let His light shine through you. That is true and genuine faith. It does say in the Bible that there are people in the church that think that they're saved. They think they're saved, but they don't really have genuine faith. And that's in the Bible for a reason. We should all search our hearts and wonder, you know, do I really have genuine faith, a genuine relationship with Christ? It's a fair question. It's an important one to ask. Now, how was the problem solved? Continuing this, we're going to look at a few verses here, not a lot. I'm not going to overwhelm you with lots and lots and lots of verses. I like to keep it simple. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." So when Christ went to the cross, your sins were there with him. He already knew what you were going to do, what I was going to do, what I would do, he knew. It was all there. He was bearing our sins on the cross. There was no surprising him, right? Now, it says here though that by him dying, it's like he wants us to die too. So when we have a relationship with Christ, a big part of that is dying to ourself. The old me is gone. The new me is here. I'm no longer on the throne of my heart. I'm no longer the boss. I'm no longer in charge, but God is. And I no longer want to live for my own self, to please my own desires, my own flesh, but I want to live for His righteousness. Now the last part says, by His wounds you have been healed. And some people say, if you say that three times real fast, that He will heal all your physical problems. But that's not true. That's not even what that means. But there's some really bad teaching out there in the world that we live in. But the wounds that this is talking about, His healing that He gives, that He promises, the wounds that He had by going to the cross, they're fixing this sin problem we have, this contaminated world we have, this problem we have where without it we're completely cut off and separated from God. By His wounds on the cross, we have the ultimate healing. Our relationship is restored to what it needs to be with God. That's the healing that He promises. That's what we have. So that's extremely exciting. Now here's another one from 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." He didn't go to the cross again and again and again and again and again and again and again. He didn't have to. He died once on that cross, once to cover all of our sins. Important here, the righteous for the unrighteous. You remember in the Passover, they would sacrifice a lamb without blemish? Perfect lamb? Well, Jesus was our perfect sacrifice. There's no one else that could have died for you except for Jesus. No man could have died for you. No other man, no other person. No one could have done this but Him. He was the perfect sacrifice and He was righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? He was right before God. Completely. Totally. He died for the unrighteous. Who are the unrighteous? Raise your hand. So, Christ died for the unrighteous that He might bring us to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure want to go to God. Isn't that going to be awesome when you do pass, when you do die, and you meet God? Amen. I mean, seriously. And especially if you have lived your whole life, and you had many choices about what you do with your life, and how you invest your time, and what you do, but you walk with God in your life. And isn't it going to be awesome when you meet Him? And you see, it's all been worth it. Isn't that going to be awesome? And this is what Jesus is doing. He's bringing us to God. It says He's being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. So Christ was put to death in the flesh. He really died for us. And He makes us alive through what He did. And He did not stay dead. We know that. So it's Friday, but what's coming up? Sunday. Isn't that exciting? Now, just want to close with a couple more verses and then just something that I think is a real good application of all this for today, right where we are. But do you know that the cross was no accident? The cross was not in any way a victory for Satan. I mean, he thought it was. Think about it. Satan tries to take things and manipulate them and twist them. And everything that's going on in your life, Satan would really like to get into and have his way with. And he'd like to bring all kinds of destruction, wouldn't he? And he does. He's out there. He's out there trying to stop people from coming to God, trying to stop people from being in a relationship with Him, trying to stop you from walking with Him. But at the same time, everything that's going on, God is there too. He's right there and He has a good plan. And though Satan may do something and think he has the victory, God turns it around on him. And that's what the cross is like. And this is from Acts chapter 2, 22. We were on this not long ago when Peter was preaching at Pentecost. He said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." So he's just saying, hey, remember Jesus. He did many miracles. There were many signs. You remember, you know, you saw it. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. You killed Jesus, but this was God's plan. This was His definite plan from the very beginning. He knew this would happen from the very beginning. This is exactly what Jesus came for. The cross was no accident. Not at all. Jesus came to this earth, was born, lived those 33 years perfectly to go to the cross on our behalf. That's God's definite plan from the very beginning. Now, for the application for today, is there maybe one or two or all of us maybe that are going through some tough circumstances right now? Any of you facing some difficult trial? Maybe you have a loved one who's not doing well physically. Maybe you have big relationship issues. Maybe your heart is just really hurting and aching right now. And the thing is, you got to remember that God promises, also says this in Romans, that He works all things out together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so no matter what difficulty that you're facing, no matter what trial, no matter what struggle, God is in it. He's right there. He's working it out for good. And it's like the cross, and it's like this day. And if you think about it, how the disciples felt when they saw Jesus die on the cross, they felt absolutely defeated. Absolutely defeated. But the thing is that there was no defeat there. It was completely victorious. Jesus at the cross, God's definite plan. And so I just want to say right now, if you're feeling defeated, if there's something that has you down, that has you defeated, I mean, just have faith that God is in it, that He's right there, that He's going through it with you, that He has a much bigger plan that, yes, you and I, we don't understand right now, but someday we're going to look back from eternity and we're going to see, and it's going to make a whole lot more sense. We can't always judge things by what they look like on Friday. Sometimes we got to get a little further. In this case, it was just a few days. It was just till Sunday when Christ resurrected. And then beyond that, all that would happen. But right now, I just believe sometimes we have to step back and we have to have a bigger faith in God. And we have to trust that He's going through it with us right now. He's carrying us through whatever we're facing. And He is in control. And although He is in every way allowing us to go through everything that we're going through, there is a very good thing there. God has a good plan. If you love Him, if you're His child. And so I guess the question that you should ask, you go back to that one, am I a child of God? Do I have a relationship with Christ? Have I recognized my need for a Savior? Have I invited Him to be my Savior? And I hope the answer for every one of you is yes, absolutely. But you know what? If you've never really personally received Christ, today's the day. No better day to do it than today. Remembering what He did for you on that cross. And I'm happy, and so many of us are happy to talk to you about it anytime. It's our number one thing. Amen? That's our number one thing. That's the thing we want to see most is people coming to Christ. So feel free anytime. If you have a question, if you have a doubt, if you have a concern, you know, that's what we're here for. We don't have all the answers, but we want to point you to the one who does. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your good plan. We know it didn't look so good to the disciples, and Lord, it probably didn't look so good to your mother. It probably didn't look so good to other followers of yours, Lord. But Lord, it was so good and so victorious. And you have such a big, wonderful plan for all mankind and even for us as individuals, Lord. I pray that you would help us just to remember the cross in every situation that we're in, that it would so penetrate our lives, Lord, that there would be no part of us that is in any way disjoint from what you did for us on the cross, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would be our number one thing, that there would be nothing before you in our lives, and that we would be completely, completely on fire for you, Lord. I just pray this, and I just ask you to just come into our lives in a big way. Just teach us more and more what it means to be open to you and to just truly walk with you as your children. We thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.